5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to tell you what Judy Jetson, Alf, and the first beehive hairdo woman have in common. That's coming up. And also, Larry Kudlow. I mean, there's a good reason to stick around for the next hour. I'm Brian Wilson alongside Larry O'Connor.
I would have normally said our next guest, Mike Rogers, is the answer, but I know he loves the Jetsons and Alf, but I don't think he ever had a beehive hairdo.
As far as I know.
Representative Mike Rogers, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Both beehive hairdo, can't say I did, but I did have that big puffy 80s hair.
Oh, did you? Oh, really? Oh, there's something.
We want to see pictures.
But not exactly the answer we're looking for. By the way, Congressman...
With my white painter pants, too, and the whole deal. You had to go the whole deal when you're in the 80s.
Congressman Rogers is not only our colleague here on Cumulus Radio, you hear him every morning here on Mornings on the Mall with his daily message, but also he's a brand new star of a CNN series called Declassified Untold Stories of American Spies that premieres June 19th. He's going television on us, Brian Wilson. You know how it is. Thanks for joining us today, Representative Rogers.
Trust me, I have a face for radio. So that's the good news for all of you.
Let's talk about the investigation, where it stands right now, and what the FBI is doing. And as the former Intelligence Committee chairman, I know that you're intimately involved in how to investigate a jihadist attack like we saw in Orlando. Where do you think things stand right now?
Well, I'm sure they're going to go back and review all of the reasons that he was interviewed. So we know a couple of things. One, I think the media has been saying, well, he's been interviewed twice. He wasn't the subject of one of those interviews. He was a sideline interview, meaning the principal person they were trying to talk to, he was associated with that person at this particular mosque, is my understanding. And so what that meant is he really wasn't the subject of that particular round of interviews. He was just brought in to try to determine if there was any truth to the fact that their principal interviewee, which is sounds complicated. So the guy that they were trying to interview, they interviewed him. He was associated with them, so they interviewed him. The second round of interviews, they actually did interview Mateen based on comments and statements that he made. And so I think what they're going to do is an after-action report saying, all right, did we miss something?
Yeah.
B, was there something there that we should have used to try to hold him on a either a watch list or something else? And is there something broken in the system? This is where policymakers need to look at these reviews and say, listen, they pretty much had it right. What they didn't have right was that they didn't have the policy authority to actually do something more with it, to say, well, maybe if he's buying a gun or other things, that maybe a flag ought to go off and somebody ought to go talk to him, that kind of thing. Well, so that's, I think, the next step.
Here's the thing I'm wondering about. They interviewed him twice, and one of them was apparently a very detailed investigation. It lasted some 10 weeks. They even tried to, you know, send down a confidential informant to have a conversation with him to get some sense of what the guy was all about. I mean, Director Comey gave us a lot of details on that yesterday, but then they had to close it out because they couldn't find anything that they thought, you know, would bring a case. Why do they have to close it out? Some have said, well, that's the way Congress wrote the law. And some have said, no, that's the Attorney General's interpretation of the law and the guidance that has been given to the FBI and the prosecutors. You know this stuff. Which is it?
I think it's the guidance given by the Attorney General. There was some very interesting interpretations over, clearly the last Attorney General. I think it's carried over into this one. about trying to close those things out versus at least holding something open to where they could continually monitor that person's behavior.
Now, if that had been left open, let me ask you this. This is the follow-up question. If that had been left open and the guy then goes out and buys a couple of weapons, an AR-15 and a Glock, would it have been flagged to the FBI? In other words, he has to go through a background check to get that. It has to go through the NCIC computer. Wouldn't that have sent off a flag if there was an open investigation?
Brian, not likely, because he's a U.S. citizen. So just the fact that he would have an investigation in and of itself would not flag any firearms.
Isn't that a problem, though? Isn't that a real problem here, that somebody who is in the middle of an investigation, there's no provision under the law that if he goes out and buys a bunch of weaponry that the FBI is alerted to it?
Yeah, I think there is probably a problem. What they were trying to prevent at the time was to make sure that somebody's due process was taken away from them, in the sense that, hey, you can investigate me all you want, I'm innocent. Now you've hurt my reputation, and you've not allowed me to participate in all the rights of a U.S. citizen. So you have to look at that due process point. But I do think, given the circumstances, and look at San Bernardino, look at this, there's a lot of similarities in these cases now, where you can say, all right, we're going to have to just fire on this. We're going to have to look at this person raises to this level. And by the way, the only thing, that the FBI thought we probably ought to take this off the list is the fact that he had pledged allegiance to every terrorist group on the map, including a Shia, and Sunni group, which is just never happens. So you're either a Shia terrorist or you're a Sunni terrorist. You're very rarely both. And so that was one of the key factors for the FBI agents to go, I'm just not quite sure. That doesn't sound right. And, oh, by the way, we have this other big stack on our desk of people who seem to be more committed to actionable terrorist activity, so let's move out to there. So I do think we have to have a mechanism that allows people, maybe not to say you can't do it, but sends up a flag that says, hey, this person has been investigated for activities that the FBI needs to know about. Doesn't mean he's guilty. It just means that we ought to maybe have a second look at this particular guy.
Well, and let's talk about that stack of people, because as the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, I'm guessing that you got some pretty regular security briefings and intelligence briefings. I'm not sure the commander-in-chief attends all of his intelligence briefings, but that's a whole other story.
He says he reads the crib notes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm guessing that this is the kind of thing that would keep you up at night, not the big terror networks that you're tracking over sees and by potential cells here, but it's this guy that just kind of pops up out of nowhere, who maybe was on the radar, and then suddenly does this horrific thing. San Bernardino, Orlando has something in common, that is, after the fact, we found out, oh yeah, well, he was sort of being watched, but not really. How many are we talking about here?
Oh, hundreds. Now remember, there's an FBI ISIS-related investigation in every single FBI field office in the United States, which is hard to do. We have offices in Alaska as well. So if you think about that, it is pervasive. There is this huge and growing problem, and the FBI candidly can't keep up with all of it. They can't even do, by the way, the kind of investigation they did on this guy, because introducing confidential informants takes time, and it's an effort, and it's time-consuming for the Bureau. So that tells you they clearly had some concerns at one point to ramp that investigation up by putting in confidential informants so that they could get a sense of if this guy is serious or not. And that's part of the concern. And so here's my big frustration with all of this. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are going to say it's about guns and it's about your sexual orientation, and it's going to be about none of those things. It is really about a guy like this who has the chance to go crazy and murder, slaughter these people, has a reason to do it in his mind. And that's ISIS that's winning this PR and propaganda war coming out of eastern Syria and western Iraq. Until we deal with that problem, and clearly, I think the president and the former secretary have no real interest in trying to get people's attention on why he thought he had permission to do this. That radical Islamic ideology is literally killing Americans,
yes,
and it is fomented in places like eastern Syria with ISIS, and we've got to do something about it.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Representative Mike Rogers, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, we greatly appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks, fellas.